We are in Doctrine and Covenants 39 and 40 to finish up this week. And my heart just loves these two chapters. It's such a touching warning to the rest of us and such a touching call to the rest of us to know how much God sees in us, such great things if we can have a greater eternal perspective. And my heart was so touched as I thought of The Chosen. And the last episode of The Chosen, maybe it wasn't the last, was when the Lord invites Nicodemus to come. And he comes with his apostles, and they do take some liberties with it. But it's just so beautiful how it has opened these stories in the Bible, these journal recordings that we have of these great men, and opened our mind to make them more real to us. And as he comes with his disciples, and there's money left there, and of course that is not in the scriptures, but he lifts up the money and he says, "You came so close, my friend." And Nicodemus is behind the wall just sobbing. And his wife has pressured him, not knowing the Savior has invited him. He, of course, has not said he thinks it's the Savior. He feels pressure from the church, as the Pharisees and Sadducees have very much come out against the Savior. And as I studied this before The Chosen and taught this lesson in seminary last year, what was so touching is what the Lord taught me. A truth that so penetrated my heart. And that was with Pontius Pilate and with Nicodemus. The Lord rewards us for what we do, not what we don't do. He doesn't punish us for what we don't do. We just miss out on greater blessings for what we don't do. But he so delights to honor and bless us. So everything we do do, we are blessed for. And as I read this, I thought the distinct thought that came is, for this life, James Colville may have had a happy life. For this life, he may have chosen his followers and a life of ease. And for this life, that may have been okay. But man, when he gets to heaven, do you not think, as he watched what he missed out on, the greater truth and knowledge, the greater covenants, the temple blessings, that is the definition of hell? To watch and think, if I would have only been willing to sacrifice in the blip of time that we have here on earth, if I only would have swallowed my pride, if I only would have repented, if I only would have had a greater eternal perspective, all that the Lord had in mind for us, all that he saw in us. And that is what this two sections is really all about. Okay, so James Colville is from a Baptist father and a Methodist mother. And it's interesting because in my Doctrine and Covenants, it says he's a Baptist minister, but in my studies, it says he is a Methodist minister. And so I don't know. I'm going to say Methodist because my studies are probably more current than my Doctrine and Covenants. I've had this for 30 years and won't get rid of my scriptures because of my notes in them. They're just so treasured to me and I can't do that. So he is a Methodist preacher, minister, and he decides that he is going to come. He hears of the gospel and he's going to come and meet with Joseph Smith. And he comes and he tells Joseph Smith he will obey anything God tells him to do. And this is the prophecy that comes from God. Okay, so the very first thing I love, again, that Jesus bears witness that this is coming from him. This is new for all of these people who get these revelations. This is new for them. It's not new for Joseph Smith, but I love that Joseph Smith, really, it comes from God, because you can tell Joseph Smith doesn't delete that, like you said that last time. It's to a new person, and this is new for James Colville. And then I love that he says again in verse 2, the darkness comprehendeth it not. We have to be so careful what we are seeking. Light cleaveth to light, darkness cleaveth to darkness. Okay, verse 3, the same which came in the meridian of time unto mine own, but my own received me not. And I have written there foreshadowing. I came to those who said they were seeking their Savior, and they didn't receive me. And I thought of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and I just thought, this is so sad, because here's James Colville, who is seeking for God and so excited, and the foreshadowing that he will not. Okay, and then I want you to go to verse 5. And verily, verily, I say to you, he that receiveth my gospel receiveth me, and he that receiveth not my gospel receiveth me not. Those two are inseparably connected. You can't divide one for the other. And I love that. We draw closer to Christ by living the gospel. There is no other way. You can say just having a knowledge of Christ is enough, spending your time in nature, knowing he's a good man and accepts everyone and loves everyone is enough. And that's true. And you will find comfort with other people who are happy and content with that. But if truly your desire is to live with God as mine is, then that is not enough. You have to wholeheartedly embrace the gospel and all that means, all the sacrifices, all the praying and seeking for further light and understanding, all of the repenting, all of it, you have to accept if your desire is truly to live with God. Because how, and you remember that conference talk, I believe it was Holland, how dare would you stand and live with him not having gone through anything he had experienced? We will have a taste. We will get to know a taste, not anything close, but a taste. And we see that through Joseph Smith. We see that through other first leaders in the church. We see that through people in the Book of Mormon and in the scriptures. And if we want to be where they are, then we have to know. That's going to be part of the package. Okay, verse 7. And now behold, I say unto my servant James, I have looked upon thy works and I know thee. He knows us. He knows us. In every instance, he knows us. And I love that. I find such beauty in that. And then he goes on in verse 8, and verily I say, thy heart is now right, right at this minute, right before me, not yesterday, not the day before, not 2 weeks from now, but right at this minute, as you have sought for me and sought to know my will for you, it's right because you're seeking me. And that's such a beautiful thing for us to know. As we seek him in our imperfections, our heart is right. As we desire to know what next, what would you have me do? Okay, and behold, I have bestowed great blessings upon thy head. And I just love that. 9, nevertheless, thou hast seen great sorrow. Thou hast rejected me many times because of pride and cares of the world. So here again is foreshadowing and how much he knows him. And he's warning him, you've had it before. You've come so close and you've turned away before. Remember the sorrow that you have felt. Okay, verse 12. And it shall come to pass, the power shall rest upon thee, and thou shalt have great faith. And I will be with thee and go before thy face. Is that not an incredible blessing? Wouldn't you want that? And then 15, and inasmuch as my people shall assemble themselves at Ohio, I have kept in store a blessing such as is not known among the children of men, and it's the temple. And it shall be poured upon their heads, and from thence shall all men go forth, men shall go forth into all nations. And it's the temple blessings that have never before been had, and they will go to all nations, and we're seeing that. Okay, jump down to verse 22. And he that receiveth these things receiveth me, and they shall be gathered unto me in time and eternity. So if you receive these things that you just heard, you receive me and you become mine, and you will be gathered with me in time and all eternity. You will live with me. And I love that. And then I love in 24, I come quickly. Even so, amen. And so he's saying, you don't have time to think about this. Now is the time. You don't get to say it's not in my lifetime. It's the next lifetime. I'm just not going to worry about it. Now is the time to decide. And I love that the definition for quickly, because of course this was 200 years ago, is rapidly, no delay. When he comes, there will not be time for us to go, oh shoot, he's going to be here. It will be a process of our everyday life, who we have become and what we are seeking. Okay, and in chapter, or in section 40, in verse 1, behold, verily I say to thee, the heart of my servant James Colville was right before me. For he covenanted with me, he would obey my word. Okay, don't say you will and then not. I think it's the wise and the slothful servant. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you're not going to, then don't lie. Don't say that you will, because you can come under condemnation for lying. And then in verse 2, and he received the word with gladness, but straightway Satan tempted him, and the fear of persecution and the cares of the world caused him to reject the word. So what had happened before? His congregation, his home, his life, all that he had built, he's older, all that he had built up, to walk away from that was way too much for him. And it really, truly makes me think of Nicodemus. Verse 3, wherefore he broke my covenant, and it remaineth with me to do with him as seemeth me good. Amen. God is the judge. We get to learn from these. We don't get to judge. And I love, as I think about Laman and Lemuel, and think it's been thousands of years since they were here and we have those stories. What if they've repented by now? What if we come back to heaven and they're standing there and they have changed? Wouldn't that be amazing? And so I just love that it's between him and God, but this is here for us to learn from. Where do we want to be? What are we seeking? If we truly want to be with Amulek, who is one of my greatest heroes, and all that he gave when the angel came and said, will you feed a man of God? And Alma taught him in his home, and he became a missionary and went out and gave up everything. Lost his family, lost his home, lost everything. And my favorite verse is when it says, and Alma took him to his home and comforted him in the Lord. The Lord will bless us for everything we give up. But it's for the next life that those blessings come. This is a blip of time, and we have to pray for an eternal perspective. We have to pray to be equal to the task and to be courageous enough to walk with God and to repent and become who he needs us to become. I so love this story of James Colville. It breaks my heart because it just is too familiar. And I so want to be equal to the task. I so want to be one who will go when he calls and when he asks. And I don't know that I will, but I want to with all my heart. And so I'm so grateful for this, these two sections that we have of this James Colville, whose heart was right, but it wasn't enough to go. And when he goes back to heaven and sees the opportunities that he gave up, that is to me the definition of hell, to know what we could have had that we weren't willing to sacrifice for. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much the Savior loves you.